Hello and welcome back to the 18 Yards podcast. Your favorite and most irregular podcast is back for season 3. And I've got Ari with me here for a very, very special episode. We've been trying to sort of align our schedules to get back for season 3 because, you know, we're horribly irregular with this and we promise that we'll try and be more regular this season. Yeah, so we're back for a very special episode. We've got a very, very special guest. He needs no introduction, especially to our Indian listeners. He is Mr. Stephen Constantine. He managed the Indian team from 2002 to 2005, and he managed the team again in 2015-2019. Some of the high points in the history of Indian football, he led us through those. And, you know, we've just finished the interview with him and then we're recording the beginning of the podcast, obviously. So just so passionate about India, about Indian football. I mean, it was a lovely 1 hour chat we had with him. But yeah, before we get into that, Ari, how you been? Madrid won last night. It's been good. Spurs is in good form, so we're all happy. What's going on?
Oh man, you know, every day I wake up every morning and I thank God for giving me Karim Benzema. This guy is insane. He is so good. I'm not even kidding. You know, last night I was watching the game with Chelsea fans in the screening. And Chelsea actually started off the game really well, you know. But then obviously, you know, Benzema did what Benzema does, right? Scored a hat-trick and game over. We won the tie. On to semi-finals.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, obviously we're not going to get into it much on this episode, but where our next week's episode will probably be talking about either the Champions League or the Premier League run-in. Both exciting, lots of football coming our way in the next couple of weeks. And yeah, keep listening. Enjoy the next 45 minutes to an hour that we have lined up with Mr. Constantine. Enjoy to speak to him. I hope that everyone likes what he has to say. So yeah, let's go. Let's hear what Mr. Constantine says. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Constantine. Welcome to the 18 Yards podcast. No introduction needed to our Indian listeners. For me, you led the Indian team during some of our most hopeful times as Indian football fans. So, you know, thank you so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're safe.
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you for the invite. I will always have a soft spot for India. So as long as I will always talk to them. So it's good to be on the show. Thank you for the invite.
Lovely. So let's get right into it. Ari, why don't we kick off?
Yeah. So firstly, it's a pleasure to be talking to you because since the time I've been watching, following Indian football, you've been the manager that, you know, has got us to great heights. So it's honestly it's a pleasure to be talking to you right now. So what we wanted to know firstly was, India being not being a country with very rich football history, what made you join the national team of this country? I mean, why India? Why did you choose us out of all the teams that you could have managed in your first stint back in the early 2000s?
Well, before I arrived in India, I was actually the coach in Nepal for 2 years. And we played India in one of the group games. We lost that game, but we had already qualified for the semifinals. And I think when Mr. Colasso called me about 7 or 8 months after I left Nepal, asking if I would be interested in coming to India. Obviously, having lived in Nepal, I already understood a little bit of the culture. And I'm thinking, what a great opportunity it's going to be. Coaching India, obviously one of the biggest populated countries in the world. The term "the sleeping giant," I heard that a few times, and I think, well, we need to wake this giant up because we've been asleep for too long. And yeah, there were obviously, cricket is number one, but we'll get into that later. I'm not so sure about that. But yeah, so it was, and I would never forget arriving at the airport in Mumbai. I had never seen so many people in an amazing, amazing experience. But, you know, for the first time, I mean, it was great. So,
you know, I mean, your first 3 years in India, so obviously, all that me and Ari, because we were very, very young when you managed the team. First of all, I for one, I don't think we didn't watch football at that time. So sort of, I mean, we're trying to focus more on the second stint, but I think this is a question that goes either way, you know, in your first stint in India and your second. What were sort of the challenges you found coming to a country that, you know, like you said, is very often termed the sleeping giant of football? So, you know...
Look, I think...
Not just the footballing cultural challenges.
There were a lot of challenges. For example, we did not have a sponsor for the kit, for our uniforms. And I remember saying to... we were wearing Shiv Naresh as a national team.
Yeah.
And it was great. We were staying in guest houses. We were traveling by train and not first class, I might add. And I'm saying, we are the Indian national team. We should be traveling. We should be staying in better places than they're staying at club level. So the first thing I wanted to change was I wanted the players to want to come to the national team. Well, it wasn't necessarily the case when I first got there. First time that we were wearing Adidas was for the Afro-Asian Games, if I'm not mistaken, where we finished runners-up in that. When we went to play the LG Cup, which was in Vietnam, that we went there, believe it or not, as a warm-up. They played two games in Vietnam, and it will be a warm up for the Asian Games. What they didn't count on was India winning the LG Cup, beating the and I went with it was an under 23 team with three overage players, so Baichung Devjit and Joe Polanchery, and we beat the senior Vietnam team in 3-2 after being 2-0 down. That is one of the biggest results I think we had in our history at the time. And if I'm not mistaken, a young 18-year-old substitution, Abhishek Yadav, scored the winning goal with a header to make it 3-2. And that was unbelievable moments for us, of course. We had such a good team at that time. You know, we got kit sponsors. Then we started to stay in hotels. We had a chain of hotels in Delhi.
So I think most of your both stints, I think you can safely say that the Indian team sort of had performed above, like you said, you know, performed above expectations, went in the LG Cup and then, you know, great in Vietnam and no one expected them to. So getting to the second stint, you know, after 10 years away from India, what prompted you to come back? So what was there one reason? Did you miss India? Did you miss the culture?
Look, I think having spent 3 years in India. We lived in Goa for most of the time. My wife was with me. My youngest daughter was 3 years old when my third daughter was conceived in India. I'm still waiting for my Indian passport on that, by the way. we had a great time the first time round, and it's 10 years, exactly 10 years when I got a call. I was in Rwanda, actually, and I remember the Indian Super League had just started in 2014, and I was watching the games, and I'm thinking, finally, things are going to really happen in India, because potential is massive. It's a big word, but I think that we have so much more than we're actually showing, especially at international level. With the ISL for me was going to stay in India, and while I wasn't 100% happy with everything or the way that the ISL was being shall we say structured, I could see the reason behind it, although from a pure football point of view, it wasn't exactly what I wanted. But then, you know, I'm not a business guy, and these guys need to make money. They need to get people interested, and you can't dispute that that they did that. So, yeah. And somebody asked me very nicely, "Do you want to come back to India?" And I said, "Yes."
You know, you just mentioned about the ISL not being structured properly. We've also had this conversation in the past, where we've also discussed, Ryan and I, where we discussed how, you know, it should be an all year round tournament where players are playing across the year, with, you know, so they get more playing time actually on the field. Do you think that's one of the way that they can actually structure it in the future, where the players are playing throughout the year?
Look, if you look at the best leagues around Asia, forget Europe, J League, K League, Iran, Uzbekistan, Saudi, their leagues are 8-9 months long. You need that competition if you are going to, or if you want to move up the ladder in terms of quality. How are we going to attract under 30 players to come and play in the ISL? Because at the moment, I think 85% of them are over 30. So they are on their last, shall we say, contracts. And to be fair, most of the boys that are coming to play. But nevertheless, they are a little bit older, a little bit slower. And we need, and I'm sure that the powers that be in the ISL, we need to attract mid-20s, late-20s players, foreign players who are of the quality, because it's only that way that we're going to actually really test ourselves against the better Asian countries, whether that be at the AFC competitions or at international level. So, I think that we do need a 7-8 month season. I also have heard the argument that we don't want the ISL season to clash with the cricket season, which, when they are the ones controlling the TV rights, they can kind of do that. But you've got in America, the NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, you've got ice hockey, and you have the MLS and the USL. And we are far bigger than the Americans. So we have a population where everybody can get the fix, whether it's football, cricket, kabaddi, or whatever else that you watch. So I would like to see an 8-9 month season, then your preseason. That would, I think, benefit our Indian players a lot more. But obviously, that's not my call.
Right. So, like you said, you know, we've been talking about the ISL and you know, the way it sort of it did initially. I pick out his thoughts on Twitter very regularly, but you know, it started just before you joined the year before you joined back with the Indian team. So, you know, in that decade away, what changed that, if there was any change when you came back? Was there any?
Football is big, big business. It's the number one sport, bar none, in just about every country in the world. And there are a lot of ways to make money from football, as we all know. So I think, you know, the once Indians had realized that, well, hang on a minute. Yeah, we're good at cricket. What's our market? 10 countries, 12. And of those 12 countries, four of them are no good. So with football, you've got 211 nations. It's a worldwide market. And there is so much opportunity in football, whether you're selling tickets, whether you're producing equipment, whether you're coaching, whether you're doing academies. So I think the biggest change for me is 10 years later, that the penny had dropped for a lot of people in India, thinking, well, hang on a minute, there's a lot of money in this football, let's make some. So I think that was the biggest thing. And also the travel arrangements for players, the conditions for players, once that money started coming into the game, that also improved. And of course, when you wave the dollar bill, you attract foreign players and foreign coaches. That was also the case in China. It's happened in India. So I think a lot of good has come from the changes. We still need to be, shall we say, a little bit more, think about the game more than just the revenues from the game. I would like us to be looking after the players a bit better. I would like to see stadiums without a running track, you know, ideally. But you know, these are all little things. The main thing is that there was a massive change in how people saw football. Indian families didn't want their kids to play football. It would be cricket mostly. But once they saw that there's an opportunity for their sons to make a good living playing football, it's now an option for any Indian boy or girl who wants to play.
Right. So also, you know, you in your second stint or even your first stint, we just want to ask you, what was it like, you know, building a entirely new tactical identity and, you know, even a footballing identity in a country like India, especially with a team that's that was underperforming, which has been for in the national tournaments?
Well, not with me, they didn't.
So, yeah, you we were.
Who's that? I hate losing. And I think what we did in the first stint was we got respect from other countries in Asia. You don't go to Vietnam and beat them 3-2 at home after being 2-0 down. That was we got respect. We went to the final of the Afro-Asian Games. We beat a couple of African teams. Rwanda was one of them that I later coached. That was for me very important. But you need a certain type of player. We are not going to be a team that will possess the ball for long periods of time against the middle to top ranked nations in Asia. So you need a certain type of player. Now, if you look at how long does a player have the ball in his feet? So if we were looking at Tapa, Aniru Tapa, how long would he have the ball in his feet in an international game against Iran or against Oman. Maybe 2 minutes, maybe more. So what is Tapa doing for the other 58 minutes? He's running, he's recovering, he's opening up, he's creating space. So if you don't have players who are willing to do that, then you are in serious trouble. So I think one of the criticisms was we would play long ball. We didn't play long ball through choice. Our choice was, are we going to play out the back, make a mistake and concede the goal? Or when we're under pressure, get rid of it, push up, and then try to win the ball higher up the field. It was for us a necessity. I think in time when we have more quality in terms of how we play, then maybe we can start thinking about playing a different way. But we had, in both of my times, we had players who would run all day. They gave everything for India. Those are the players I want. I want players that are going to fight, not fight when we're winning, but fight when we're losing. Fight when we're losing 1-0 or 2-0. Fight when it's bad weather. Fight when somebody has been sent off. I want players who will die for India in the pitch. And if you are not that player, you are not playing for me. Not especially when it comes to the country. So that was something very important to me. You have to learn how to win, and you have to earn the right to win. Nobody's going to roll over and let you win. And we did that in both stints. I remember my first press conference. I told the reporters, I said, guys, I said, it's going to get worse before it gets better, because I need to find who are those guys that are going to run? Who are those guys that are going to fight? And obviously we found the right people, because we went to the Asian Cup final on merit, not by accident.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like you said, you know, it gets worse before it gets better. So, you know, before we've picked out some of the points in your second stint that we wanted to get into. But before we do that, you know, there was obviously, I think, right at the beginning of the second stint, there was a run where you guys didn't do so well, and then there was the crazy 13 game unbeaten run.
14
game unbeaten run. So
they don't count. Ryan. They don't count the game that we played with Bhutan. We had a friendly game with Bhutan that we beat them. They don't count that because it wasn't an official friendly. But let me tell you, when you pull on the Indian shirt, it's official.
Yeah.
So I count 14.
Then 14 it is. So
love it.
What was the key to that run? And then obviously taking India from 173rd on the rankings to 97th. I mean,
I always thought it was 176, but okay. Don't argue. What was the key? The key was, I think, the willingness of the players to buy in to what I was trying to do. I remember we lost to Guam 2-1 in Guam. And everybody's saying to me, oh my God, Guam is half the size of Gurgaon where you live. How could you lose to Guam? What people weren't told was, Guam had, of the 11 players that started that game, 9 of them were playing in the United States. 2 of them were playing in the, one of them, sorry, was playing in the MLS. Okay. The others were playing in the USL, which is quite a decent league. It's not the best in the world, but it surely was a lot higher than the ISL. So you had pretty much 9 Americans in the Guam team. How can you lose to Guam? You know, so and don't forget, 2 days after the Guam game, the boys had were having medicals and physicals for their clubs in the ISL. And a few of them didn't want to get injured. Otherwise, they wouldn't have got the contract in the ISL. So you have to look at the whole picture. But I'm not making excuses. We lost the game. End of story. I knew that we were going to not play very well, not perform consistently. We hadn't done for the previous 10 years. I was not going to wave a magic wand and suddenly everybody was going to play super football. We needed to get in the philosophy. What's the philosophy? It's us against the world. Nobody wants India to do well outside of us Indians. So it was this kind of siege mentality that I was trying to get them. They don't like us in Oman. They don't like us in Qatar. They don't like us here. They don't like us there. And we're going to take their shit and then we are going to bite them right back. And that's what we did. Because I will tell you, when we went to Qatar and we played their Olympic team with our under 23s, the Sheikh of Qatar came into the changing rooms after the game and said to me, "Who is the coach?" I am, sir. He says, "How long have you had these players?" "We've had these players 6 weeks. 6 weeks we had them." And he said to me, I have never seen an Indian team play like this before. Fantastic. You know, we were very surprised and so on and so forth. That's great. We lost, but okay. And that was us for the under 23 competition. That those games were held in Qatar. And then Qatar goes and wins the Asian Cup the following year with several of those players that were in that team. So I think that you have to be passionate in what you do, and I give all credit to the boys under 23s that I had, and also the senior team that I had. So I get very passionate about it.
Right. So just one sort of follow up question to that I had was, you mentioned Guam, you know, having 9 players playing in America and one playing in the MLS. I remember when this game happened. I remember the loss. I remember exactly reading exactly that. My question is, and I think you have spoken about this before, do you think some of India's problems are solved by us being able to bring in players that are of sort of Indian origin? Like, I think most footballing countries do that, because we've got so many players playing abroad, in the region. Do you think that sort of solves some of India's problems?
Look, I think, firstly, our constitution does not allow it, so it's a mute point. They are not going to change that, I'm told. Mr. Patel, I was invited by the UK embassy in Delhi to travel to England and speak with Mr. Modi at Wembley on stage in front of the 100,000 Indians that had come to see Mr. Modi about, can we bring in the Indian players playing abroad? For example, there were quite a few. Danny Butt is one of the guys. He actually came to India and came and watched us train a few times. Because he wanted to represent India. However, there was no possibility of dual nationality. Now, does that solve our problems? Maybe, maybe not. I think if we get things right in India, we should be producing Indian players by the ton. And I think we are not doing that at the moment. We need to do a lot more in for me, coach education. We need better Indian coaches. How many coaches are coaching in the ISL are coached by an Indian coach? Is it one, maybe two?
I think there are two right now.
Yeah. So two out of 11, and there are quite a few of the teams in the I League that are also coached by foreigners. So we need to improve the coach education. For me in India, then we need to make sure that they are teaching our young Indian players from the ages of 3, 4, 5, 6, which is when we're starting in Europe. They need to be teaching them what the Europeans and the South Americans and the North Americans and the Africans are being taught. And until we do that, then we will, because of our population, find some decent Indian players, but we need to be producing them like a factory. And we are not doing that.
Yeah. So also, I was going to ask you, you were at the time when we were playing the under-17 World Cup, a big, big thing for India that time, FIFA World Cup being finally being hosted in India. So I want to ask you, as the coach of the men's national team, the senior boys, did that have an impact on the main team as to how the young boys performed at the World Cup? Did that give them extra motivation, or how did you feel managing the Indian team while this was going on in the country?
It didn't. Obviously, we wish them well, and obviously try to support. But we had qualifiers. I think at that time, I went to one of the games.
I was actually there for that game, and I was sitting a row in front of you. It's an interesting question.
Are you kidding me? Wow. And I think that we made a massive mistake in the preparation. And I said to them, we are hosting the World Cup. What are we doing traveling to South America for preparation when we should be preparing in India? We should be inviting the other under-17 teams to come to India for friendly games because it's being played in India. I don't think we played a single friendly game in Delhi. Where we had our group stage games were in Delhi, and if we talk about you have to look 1, 2, 3, and 4 years ahead at international football. What is coming? You have very little time to prepare for these tournaments, and for me, we did not prepare well. The boys. I can't fault the boys for their efforts. They did whatever they had, but they were not prepared.
Moving on from the under-17 World Cup, we just wanted to get into 3 specific moments in your second tenure. One is the Intercontinental Cup in 2018 in Mumbai. That's what we can start with. And then obviously the game versus China, the Earth Derby. And then we can finish off with the Asia Cup 2019. So beginning with the Intercontinental Cup, I think the main question I want to ask there is because there was that one moment where Sunil Chhetri, the captain, he asked the fans to come to the stadium, and I think that sort of sparked a relationship with the fans that at least I hadn't seen before in Indian football. So what was that tournament like? What was the relationship with the fans? And obviously at that time they could have been doing much more, I feel. I mean, yeah.
Look, if I'm honest, I didn't think that was a good idea. For a player to do it in that way, the reason that he asked the fans was because it was his 100th appearance.
Right.
That was his motivation. It was not he wanted the fans to be there. If he plays, the fans will come, whoever is representing India. But I didn't think it was a good idea. He did it. That's fine. It wasn't a big deal. But the Indian fans, I will tell you, from day one, first time and second time, have always supported us. If you go back to the Asian Cup, we had more fans in the stadium than the UAE had. Home and away, they come. India loves their country, and we had loads of support. So going on TV and saying, "Oh, please, can you come and support us?" I didn't think as a national team that we needed to do that, but he had his own reasons for doing it.
Right.
I also wanted to ask you about this, the game versus China, the Earth Derby. What were your experiences, playing that?
Well, obviously, you get to face off against one of the top coaches that has ever coached the game in Marcelo Lippi. Very humble, very nice man. Except after the game, he wasn't too happy that he wasn't able to give us a good thrashing. And I think quite a lot of people in China were jumping off the high story buildings because they would have bet loads of money on a 2-0, a 3-0, a 4-0, a 5-0. And that didn't happen either. So, but the facilities there were fantastic. We were treated very well from beginning to end. And most importantly, we gave a really good account of ourselves. And Farouk was a little bit more careful in the 90th minute. We could have left there with a 1-0 win. But, you know, if you'd have asked me before the game, coach, you know, it's going to finish 0-0, I would have said, yeah, I'll take that. It's to go to China and play in China against, obviously, the Chinese team. It was a massive game. I think the most watched game in history of world football, India against China or China against India. It was great. Great to be part of that. And obviously delighted that we came away with that with a decent result.
Yeah, it was always a big thing to draw against the, a team in Asia like China was, a pretty good team.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Now, coming towards the end of your second stint in India, the Asia Cup. Now, I remember one of your interviews saying your goal was to qualify for the Asia Cup. But I think in that tournament, the Indian team you led by you did so much more. I felt, at that time, I was in university in London, and me and my friends, some of whom barely watched football, were finding illegal streams to watch, find a way to watch the Asia Cup. I was on a flight during that final game versus Bahrain, and I was frantically texting my friend, right at the end, and unfortunately that didn't go our way. But how was the experience at managing at that level, the highest level in Asia?
I think when you are asked to manage your country, it's a phenomenal honor to represent your country. But when another country asks you to lead their country, I think the responsibility is massive. Because for a country to bring somebody else from outside to help them, is obviously saying that we think we need to go outside to get the help. Managing India both times has, I would say, been two of the best highlights of my life, apart from marrying my wife and having my three daughters. And I really mean that. India gave me the opportunity not once, but twice. Obviously, we did well both times, and I'm very proud of that. Leading India at the Asian Cup, being one of the, we were the second youngest team in Asia. When I arrived, our average age was 31. When I left, it was 23. And it's not only that we went there, but we kicked ass. We really did. I mean,
the game was really the one.
Well, the coach of Thailand, who they were staying in the same hotel with us, he got sacked as soon as we got back to the hotel. Now, obviously, I thought that was a bit not quite the right decision from Thailand's point of view. But winning that game in our first game was tremendous. I remember we played UAE in the second game. We hit the crossbar three times. Their goalkeeper made one unbelievable save and a couple of other decent saves. How we lost 2-0, I don't know. And Alberto Zaccheroni, after the game, he took his hand and put it on my face and he said, I don't know how we won this game. And then obviously you go into the last game, people said, well, we didn't play well. No, we didn't. We didn't play as good as we can. But as the game wore on, it was like it felt like it may have looked like that we were sitting back, but that was not the game plan. We needed to push up, and we sat back, and we were under pressure for the last 10-15 minutes. But to concede a 93rd minute penalty and go out, where we had it stayed that way, we would have gone to the last 16. And obviously Thailand turning over UAE, which was a little bit of a surprise, to be honest, especially the UAE, also very disappointing. So I can't explain or describe the feeling that I had at the final whistle. I still feel it. I obviously had been thinking about this. I had not been home for 6 years, and it was for me, well, okay, it's time for me to go home and spend time with the girls. You know, I think my cycle with the national team was finished. But yeah, it was a huge honor. I'm absolutely delighted that we did well enough, not quite enough to get to the 16, but let's put it this way. When I left, everybody in Asia respected the national team. And for me, it doesn't get any better than that. That was my job. I told them I would take them to the Asian Cup. I needed 4 years. They gave me 4 years. And I have to, massive thanks to Mr. Pavel Patel and Krishal Das, because they pretty much gave me not everything I wanted, but pretty much everything I wanted to get the job done. So they also must share in the credit. This and of course the players and the staff, brilliant.
Just before we finish, we've got a couple of quick fire questions.
Ew.
That we can ask.
Pressure.
So Ari, why don't you kick off?
Yeah. So the first question is: you've coached so many. You know, you've actually coached all of the Indian players I've ever known in my entire life, from Baiching Bhutia to Sandeep Jindal. So who are your top five Indian players that you've coached in your first stint and your second stint combined?
Okay. I am done.
Brilliant.
Top class striker. I don't know how he didn't play in Europe. Okay. Baichung Bhutia. He is one nasty, aggressive, difficult, pain in the ass players to play against. And I loved him. He was top class, absolute professional. I'll go Mahesh Gawali, solid stopper. Very quiet boy, but gave everything every time, every game. We have so many. Pranay Halda for me was I wouldn't say he was the top five, but he's a player that I have to mention. Venkatesh, Deepak Mondal, Tapa is going to be really good, I think. Gupit Singh, you know. Sunil scored goals for us. I could never narrow it. You know who I really like? Debjit Ghosh. Oh, man, he was an animal. He would kick his mother if she was standing in the way. Deepak Mondal as well. We had Tomba Singh. JJ was super for us. We had a lot of really good players. It would do a disservice just to say five, 50.
Right. Now, the next one is, what was your favorite memory while managing India? So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a football one. It can be anything.
Every single time we won.
That's a lovely answer.
And the third one, sir, is you've visited so many stadiums across India with you know, different atmosphere for every stadium. Was there one stadium that you actually enjoyed visiting? That was your favorite stadium to visit every time you like played a game in it?
Every single time we won. Honestly. We had, for most of our games, the stadium was full. We played Japan, and this is where people say, oh, cricket more than football. India played Australia, I think it was, in Salt Lake, and they had 60,000. We played Japan in Salt Lake on a Wednesday at 6 p.m. I had 100,000 people in the stadium, and God knows how many were outside. It doesn't matter where India plays. The support will be there. And as long as we have the support from the Indian players, I will play you outside in a parking lot.
Lovely. Now, I think we've got two questions to close it out. Last one from my end is, who's the one player, who's the current player that you think, because if I say ever, I know you'll say Ayan Gajayan, but who's the current Indian player who can play in Europe?
Who's the current player? I'm gonna go with Tapa.
I think that's a good one, and I think he could go and play in Spain.
I don't want him to go and play in Spain.
Then where do you think he should?
Yeah, I'd like to see him. I don't think he would play in Spain. I'd like to see him play in, say, Greece. Maybe here in Cyprus. I think he'd do really well here. The league is the 15th best league in Europe in Cyprus. Even though it's a small country, we have a lot of foreign players, of course. And I think there's. I think there are a lot of Indian players. Given the opportunity to play, the problem is they're getting paid good money in India to play in the ISL.
Yeah.
So I want to leave my home where I'm a superstar and go and play in a league where nobody knows me and doesn't care, and maybe I don't get to play every game. And, you know, so it's gonna need a little bit more time before we see Indian players going regularly to play outside. I don't think we've had many. I mean, Gurpreet was, Bhaichung did. Don't know too many others that went out and stayed out and did anything. I think the only one who went out and did something was Gurpreet and Bhaichung. None of the others have managed to really do anything outside. So. I think Tapa, he is, I think he's very good on the ball. He works hard. He's not going to win any crunching tackles, but you don't want him to be doing that. Obviously, he gets back into position. And I think of the current crop, he would be one of the guys that I would want to see out. He's 25, so. He needs to think about that in the next year or two, because it'll be too late after that.
Right. And so the last question to close it out, like if the ISL or the national team come knocking, would you come back to India?
I think if, well, let's go ISL first. I think if the right project came, you see, I don't want to come to India or to anywhere else just to pass the time. I don't want that. I don't have time to waste. I want to come and I want to do something. I want to make a difference. I want to improve the team. I want to win a championship. I want to go to the AFC Cup. I want to go to a World Cup. I want to go to the Euros. I want it all. So I am not going to go there just to say and pass the time. Okay, I'm going to go to India, spend a year there, see what happens, and then that's not how I work. So if the right club approached me, of course, I've said this over the last couple of years, I did not want to leave the national team and then coach in the ISL. I wanted to obviously spend time with the family. I've had that gap now. I think it's been 3 years. And I am ready, obviously, if there is a club interested in the ISL, come and get me. As far as the national team concerned, I think I would prefer to go back in. If I was to go back to the AIFF, it would be at the sporting director or the director of football. Why? Because I've done my national team. It doesn't get better than going to the Asian Cup for me. But I feel that if I had the role of the technical director or sporting director, whatever you call it, I would be able to impact a lot more on the level of coaching, what we're teaching the young players, scouting for players. I mean, we set up loads of scouting network when I was in India. And in fact, four players that went to the Asian Cup were a result of the scouting network, and they weren't even with second division clubs at that time. So, sorry, long-winded answer, but I hope that does answer your message.
Yeah,
for sure. Definitely. And just to wrap up, I think from both of us, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to be able to pick your brain about so many things over the last hour. I think our viewers and listeners will really enjoy it. Thank you so much. Hope everyone who's listening is staying safe. Hope everyone is well. And we hope we can speak again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure. It's always good talking about India. For me, it's special place in my heart. And I hope to see you at the far post.